In today's fast-paced world, technology has become an integral part of our daily lives, and religious rituals are no different. And in Ramadan, Muslims around the world increase their engagement with faith through fasting, performing prayers at mosques, and reading the Quran. From checking iftar, suhoor, and daily prayer timings to recitations and remembrances, Muslims now depend on many apps to assist them in their rituals and worshiping habits. This is Business Extra, and I'm your host, Cody Combs, and in this episode, we delve into the intersection of technology and spirituality and explore how Muslims are utilizing various apps to enrich their Ramadan experience. We'll focus on Muslim Pro app and the Muslim streaming service Callbox and how they're offering users new and innovative ways to connect with their faith. And joining me today is Nafees Kunkar, the group managing director of Bits Media. That's the company that owns the platform, with more than 2.1 million downloads in the United Arab Emirates alone and 150 million downloads worldwide. Nafees, thanks so much for joining us to discuss and understand how these digital platforms are revolutionizing the way people connect with their faith during Ramadan.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
So we have Muslim Pro, we have Callbox. Can you provide us with an overview of Bits Media and the platforms that it oversees?
So, Bits Media is actually a Singapore-based tech service provider, which owns the brands that people know most. That's Muslim Pro. So Muslim Pro is actually our app, the app you just mentioned. It's the world's largest Muslim religious app with over 160 million downloads. We have a few things in the app. We have a very strong utility part of the app where you can actually have a Qibla direction, prayer times, and a lot of different du'as that you can see there. At the same time, we have a very strong Quran feature, which I'm going to talk about the new launches later also to you. I'll explain a bit more. And thirdly, we have a content platform, which sits inside the Muslim Pro app. That content platform is separately also called Callbox, which is basically the heart of Muslim entertainment, basically. So we have three different things, and we did this over the years. So we are currently the only app which is a truly Muslim lifestyle app. Although we started with utilities, we are now a lifestyle app where you can actually get many other things just than basic utilities. You can learn about Islam, you can learn about the Quran. At the same time, you can see culture from different parts of the world, where we have more than 1,300 hours of content in our platform. And this content comes from all over the place.
Well, you mentioned the sheer number of people who like your platform and use it regularly. Where geographically do you see the most success?
So, it's actually quite obvious if you look at it. Our largest number of active users come from Indonesia, which is, of course, the world's largest Muslim populated country. But honestly, if I look back, we are actually everywhere. We are in more than 190 countries today. You can actually download our app in iOS and Google Play Store in more than 190 countries. We have a very, very strong presence in the major Muslim countries in Southeast Asia and some of the other regions in parts of Middle East and all. But we also see a huge active user base from the West. You'd be amazed. Our strongest user base after Indonesia and Malaysia are from places like US, UK, and France. So if I go back a little bit further, it's a need-based. We are actually filling a really strong gap that's available, big gap in the market, where in the West, you actually don't have a lot of Muslim content available. There are not a lot of mosques all over the place. You don't get halal stuff everywhere. So you actually really need an app like ours to guide you there. And we are really, really happy that we have managed to build a very strong community in that part of the world as well.
Instinctively, a lot of people, when they want to engage their curiosity on any number of these features that's offered in your app, instinctively, I would think that they would want to go to Google. Is Google one of your biggest competitors? And how do you get people to not go to Google and see an advantage in your app?
Okay. Yeah, very interesting. So Not that we are fighting with a Google or any other search engine, but one of the things is, you know that when you come to Muslim Pro, you have everything authenticated. Starting from prayer times to the Islamic calendar, we don't update anything without actually getting the verified information from that country's authority. So that's how you have that prayer time information. At the same time, any other, if you talk about Quran or Hadiths or any other information, it's always verified information. So in Google or any other search engine, I don't want to name anything, they can be content from everywhere. And it could be different people posting, and based on different browsers, algorithms, you will get different answers. But for our users who really want to know and who are really regular in something and really want to work on something, research on something, they would actually come to Muslim Pro to do that. And I would actually extend it even further. One of the things that we do is to stay relevant. We do new things all the time, right? And one of the latest things, and thank you for asking the question, it gives me a chance to brag a little bit. One of the things that we did recently is we just started an AI-powered search engine within our app. We have named it iDeen. It's actually quite amazing where users can ask anything, just like when you ask any other chatbot like ChatGPT or anyone. When you open our app, you have a place where you can actually ask questions. So you can ask any Islamic guidance type questions, and our bot will actually go through the whole of the Quran and some identified and verified hadiths with very latest information till end of 2023. And give you answers. And now there are a lot of other bots who can do that, but we are actually very, very focused. Our thing is, it will first look at Quran and it will tell you answers exactly what Quran says in different ayahs, in different places in Quran. It will search everything and give you an answer based on Quran. Then it will give you some other perspectives from different hadiths, which expands on that. And that also, we don't use just any one of them. So naturally, when you actually go anywhere else and come to you or come and ask iDeen here, you get a different perspective. So from that, I think we can clearly differentiate, and our users know that, and our users know where we are getting the information from. It clearly gives you examples, and it gives example stories, everything, and also the links that are there. We are also going one step further with it. We have a lot of content based on faith and a lot of documentaries in our content platform as well. So our next step is, it will actually connect with all the content as well and give you links where users can research more with our content from the same question. It all comes from the first question that you ask. So we actually have quite a bit there, which a normal search engine or a normal bot probably cannot do.
Since you brought up iDeen, we've been talking about artificial intelligence with some previous guests, and we keep going back and forth. We talk about the potential for artificial intelligence, how it's going to fix problems, how it might pose some problems. Do you see any sort of spiritual connection between AI and religion? At the risk of not getting too philosophical, and, you know, it's a very interesting topic. These AI, you know, large language models are becoming so powerful, and there's so much potential. There's also concern. Do you have any thoughts on that? I'm just curious.
Of course. And everyone knows about the concerns, right? I mean, you know that OpenAI is launching their latest Gen AI products because of some concerns that they have. So that's one thing that we have to be extremely, extremely careful about. One of the things about being global, so I'll go one step backward first and then come back to this question. We have to be extremely careful. Being in 190 countries means that we have to actually make sure that we follow all the regulations that all these countries have. We have to follow all the data regulations that are there. I mean, and you know, in the West world, it's very, very strict, right? And we have to follow every single one of them. Otherwise, we cannot be really relevant and we cannot be operating in these places. Same way with AI, we know that it brings in a lot of other challenges and you have to be extremely careful. So if you'll see that if you go into iDeen, we have been very, very strict and focused on a few particular materials. First thing first, everything will be based on the Quran. And Quran, as you know, cannot be changed. And there's only one Quran, right? So we don't have a huge challenge in managing that. And we have also chosen a few different hadiths for that. And only content that is available in our platform. We will not overlap with anything else and we will not go outside because we know what is in our platform. We know what information is available. And also sometimes if we give wrong information, it can have a huge impact. So we might as well not give any information, right? So we're extremely, extremely careful and we know it's a huge challenge and we always have to be very careful because we are working with a community. There are different cultures, but everyone is a Muslim and it's a huge Muslim community. But culturally, there are people who are different. There are different views, perspectives of different people. You have to be extremely careful. And that's the reason we are also going very slow. And we took a long time before doing this. And before even doing this and starting Aydeen, we actually took a lot of feedback from our customers on what they want and what they need, what we are actually looking for. So it's actually a very, very difficult balance that we have to go on a daily basis. And we have a strong moderate team, which looks at it on a daily basis as well, what's going in and what's going on.
And that's a balance that, you know, every industry, I think, is coping with and dealing with in real time. So perhaps, you know, methodical, slow and steady is perhaps the best way to go. I want to pivot a little bit. The Islamic entertainment industry has seen significant growth in recent years. How has Muslim Pro and Callbox contributed to this growth, particularly during the Ramadan season?
Islamic entertainment industry or overall Islamic industry, it's huge, right? There are 1.8 billion Muslims all over the world. And I mean, the overall economy is quite huge. Just the entertainment industry is probably over $300 billion worth already, the latest data that we have. So it's actually quite huge. Islamic e-commerce is growing. But the most important part for us is that I think by 2025 or 26, I forgot exactly when it is, smartphone usage in the Muslim population will also go up to about 1.8 billion, which is, I think, way more interesting for us. And because of this, because everyone's moving more towards technology, apps like Muslim Pro are actually becoming more and more important, I would say, to provide your utility services, your lifestyle services, and your content services. So we actually have designed special. Ramadan is, of course, a huge month for all Muslims and even us, our user base, everyone. It's huge. So first and foremost, we take regular feedback and we took special feedback during Ramadan because you always try to launch a few big product features during Ramadan. So firstly, it's based on feedback and everything that we did was based on that. And our biggest thing was the Quran, right? So what we worked on the most was the Quran. We totally changed and redesigned our Quran feature during the Ramadan. We added a few different things over here. One is, of course, the learning part, which significantly changed. You can memorize, you can learn in different ways. But at the same time, you can actually now go into our Quran feature and listen to the Quran just like you would listen to music on Spotify. Then a few more interesting facts. We actually have Quran translated in more than 60 languages in our app. And you can read the Quran in 20 plus languages. So we significantly enhanced all of these before Ramadan. And on the actual Callbox platform, which is on our content side, we have done something very, very interesting this year, and we are all very proud of it. That's actually our first AI-generated 10-part series, totally created with AI. It's called Muhammad, Mercy of the Multiverse. So it's based on our Prophet Muhammad, where it's about his life and some of his deeds and actions, where the whole thing was generated with AI. No actors, starting from the voice, video, everything was AI generated. It was a huge task collaboration between people sitting in Singapore, US, UK, and even in Pakistan. We managed to do this. So that was a huge thing for us. But we also worked on mental health. We worked on animation series. We collaborated with Pixitoon, where we are introducing Quran to the kids. So we've done quite a bit, actually, during this Ramadan.
What are some of the most popular features on the platform that users really, really just have hung on to? What do they most look forward to?
Quran is definitely the biggest everywhere. If you now go into a search engine, also the highest searched word would actually be Quran. Then the prayer times and Qibla Finder, which are basic utility features, are also used quite a lot, where people need it for their daily usage. And then we have actually started tracking, which is also coming up. Well, people are tracking their fast, their prayers. We're bringing in a few more new things where you can actually go one step further. You can track, you can have socials, you can actually, I wouldn't say compete, you can collaborate with other Muslims, maybe your family. You can do different programs around that as well.
So this is a tremendous service that you offer to hundreds of millions of people, and it's very much appreciated. That being said, if I may ask, what is the business model? How does that work out?
So we have two business revenue streams today. Why I say today is it's going to change, or we'll have others coming later. So today we have a subscription-based revenue. A lot of our features, especially the content or the video content that's there, are subscription-based. So we have a lot of subscribers who pay on a monthly, yearly basis to receive all the features. And we also have a lot of free users who where we show some ads. And we have advertising revenue. So today we are at about 70% advertising and 30% subscription model, where we are generating revenue from that. But saying that, in terms of our future and the planning and what we want to do next, we believe that we are a lifestyle app and we want to do more for the community. And we want to provide more and more services to the community. So we will add other features and revenue streams, just like we are going to collaborate with other partners. We are going to collaborate with financial institutions to provide more information on finance, to provide financial services, your Islamic finance, deposits. We are going to provide those. You have takaful insurance. We are going to provide those so that our users, I was just telling you, right, in the West, the way we see it in the Middle East or Southeast Asia, Islamic services, it's not available in the West as much, right? It is available, but it's not probably as accessible. So if we can help make these accessible, it benefits more our partners and our users who can actually get everything in our platform. And like I said, everything that we do will be, or we will try to make it very balanced and all authentic and verified. So if we do it that way, we believe that our users will benefit from that. At the same time, we will have way, way more engagement with our users. And while we do that, this will add revenue streams to our platform as well.
These are very, very ambitious plans, obviously, with hundreds of millions of users. Are there any plans for an IPO?
Current plans with the growth plans that we have, I think about 4 years or so. We should be able to look at IPO. We have got interest from a few different places. We are probably going to go for an IPO. And that's probably the good, right? Because we have investors here who probably will need to see the bigger picture as well.
Since so many people do, in fact, use this app, and it is very much an underserved audience, inevitably, I think someone such as yourself might be seen as a tech leader in this space. So I have to ask, in what ways do you see technology as serving as a bridge between cultures and communities?
I mean, I think it is inevitable, right? Everywhere you see, technology is there and it's changing. It's ever changing. I mean, I'll give you a small example, and that's probably the biggest change that you see in technology today. I just gave you a figure of 1.8 billion smartphones, right? I mean, earlier, who ever thought of reading the Quran without the actual Quran in your hand, right? But now just imagine with technology, you have just on your phone, you have so much information. You have the Quran, you have all the hadiths, you have so much content. Just in our app, you have so much information, right? You don't need books. You don't need to even go to a search engine or do anything, right? I mean, or go anywhere. One app, our app, or any other app, anything, you go to ChatGPT, you can ask questions. You get so much information just because everyone has, or not everyone, almost all these people, a lot of people, they have these smartphones, right? So this is just a simple thing. And then you have a lot of other technology that's there, but it's just probably the easiest example because it's so easy to carry. And there's so much information here. Any verification you need, anything you want to do, you can even call someone and get information. So technology actually, I think, improved the lives of everyone. At the same time, even for religion or for anything to do with the community, I think it's hugely important. And with this, we have to change. But I'll give you some examples. It brings a lot of challenges for us as well. When we work, and that's where our biggest challenge is. I mean, yes, it's good. Everyone has a smartphone, but there are 100,000 different types of smartphones, different models, different technology, and different internet speed. So from someone sitting in a village in Indonesia and someone sitting in US using very fast internet with an iPhone, it's very different. And we have to cater for all of these different segments of people. So if we balance it right, if we use the right technology where access is good, if we give the accessibility to people, then technology can actually transform lives. The resources, if you talk about culture, regulations, diversity, collaboration, whatever you say, it can actually transform everyone's lives. So it plays a huge, huge role in religion also, I would say.
It's something I always ask guests on this particular podcast. Is there anything that I'm not asking about the Muslim Pro app that you want people to know that I'm not touching upon?
No, I think you've covered most of the things. But what I can add to that is, with the technology and the technological advancement that's there, we can actually do a lot more. It's not only like even a year back or a year and a half back, we didn't think of using AI for our platform. But with the technology changed so much, we had to change, we have to come up with different things. Now we are also thinking of a chain. How we can get into a distributed ledger type management of, let's say, information, data, how we manage about finance, everything. So in terms of us, I think one of the things I want to emphasize, we are end of the day, technology-based lifestyle company. We are not only working on just maybe prayers or just Quran. I want to emphasize we are working with AI, we are working with blockchain, we are bringing in new products. We are trying to make the lives of our wider community better. That's our ultimate goal.
Well, those are some very ambitious plans for a company that's also accomplished quite a bit already. Nafees, thanks so much. Managing Director of Bits Media, thanks so much for joining us on this special Ramadan edition of Business Extra.
Thank you so much for having us here.
That's it for this episode. Thanks so much to all of you for listening. Please remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasting content so you can receive all of our episodes as soon as they come out. This episode was produced by Dolpha Reed and Arthur Edison. I'm your host, Cody Combs.